Geeks tuned to yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And in this hour, crime stories, later on an episode of Dragnet from 1955, but right now a true tale of crime from Elliot Lewis's Crime Classics. He's the director for the CBS broadcast heard on April 7th, 1954, called The General's Daughter, The Tsar's Lieutenant, and The Linen Closet, A Russian Tragedy.
Good evening. This is Crime Classics. I am Thomas Highland, with another true story of crime. Listen. That was a man lying down on a wooden slab. Chain his right leg. Chain his left leg. Chain his right arm. His left. Shackle his neck. And now a friend of the recumbent man walks over to where the whip is hung. Takes it and comes back. Its thongs are 4 feet long, attached to an iron ring, attached to another thong 2 feet long. These last thongs being dipped in milk and dried in the sun to harden them. Now the whipper gestures to his lieutenant that he is ready, and the lieutenant gives a command.
Whip!
Which command eventually got the lieutenant in big trouble. Tonight, my report to you on The General's Daughter, The Tsar's Lieutenant, and The Linen Closet, A Russian Tragedy.
Crime Classics. A series of true crime stories taken from the records and newspapers of every land, from every time. Your host each week, Mr. Thomas Highland, connoisseur of crime, student of violence, and teller of murders. Now, once again, Mr. Thomas Highland.
Catherine the Great had just died, and the great bells of St. Petersburg tolled their requiem. Tolled again the ascension to the throne of Paul I. Paul, as you know, was a trial to the Russian people, and what with him and the awful stretches of the steppes, many songs were written about death and broken hearts and treachery in the home. Vodka, first condemned as an opiate of the people, came into its own during Paul's reign. Two Russian troops had taken their first defeats in the Alps, and returning to St. Petersburg, told of giants 8 feet tall.
Closer to 9 feet.
Or closer to 9 feet, according to Lieutenant Fyodor Romayov, as he told it to the general and his daughter.
And standing like eagles on the crags of the Alps.
Does such talking bring flutters to you, daughter? Do you wish him to desist?
Oh, no.
Ivanin Kai Alexandrovna Chermayov, I do not wish to offend
you. Fyodor Petrovich Romayov, please continue. The bravery of yourself and your men who died all about you brings all at once gladness and sadness to me.
Almost 9 feet tall, struck terror in the hearts of all of us.
Even you, Fyodor Petrovich?
I do not like to say.
Then I will say it. Since I was friend to your father, Grigor Stepanovich Romayov, general of the Russians, I know there could be no fear in you, his son.
I thank you, my general.
That I could have stood at your side. But I am too old. Too old.
Oh, Father, do not say...
No, too old. Old. The old vines wither and know not springtime. Nor grapes.
I kiss you, Father. And now see, it is past your bedtime.
True. True.
And go. Go. Fyodor Petrovich, I fly into your arms. All the ecstasy that you've come back.
Vanyinka, Yablushka, little apple. How the memory of you warmed me where there was ice and mountains.
I kiss your dear lips.
Yet.
Yet what?
I am a defeated soldier.
No.
Not to you, Vanyinka?
There is victory yet, Fyodor. No less in the Alps than here. Go to my father. Ask him for my hand in marriage.
Dare I?
Does the thought of it frighten you? To face my father and ask him for me?
You are his only joy, his only child.
And you are frightened. You who faced men 9 feet tall.
Some of them closer to 10. Many of them.
Then what fright could you have?
I will ask him.
When?
Soon, soon. Now, hold me. Hold me. So cold it was in Switzerland and lonely.
Theodore was back home. And back home, he had it pretty good. Because he was the son of General Chermayoff's best, though dead, comrade-at-arms, the youth was given an apartment in the general's palace, which eventually led to more than a nodding acquaintance with the general's wine cellar, the general's library, and the general's daughter, Vanyinka. A few words about Vanyinka. She was beautiful. Great black eyes, straight nose, lips that drew back slightly at their corners in sympathy with a disdainful expression on her face. Her manner was proud and unapproachable, goddess-like. Yet, all was not caviar and sour cream, as the saying went.
Theodore.
Yes, little apple?
When will you ask my father for my hand?
Kiss me.
No. When will you ask my
father... But you are but 17.
And an untutored child who finds no favor in your eyes.
Vanyinka, Vanyinka, sing to me. Sing to me the song of the gypsy whose sweetheart drowned in the Neva. Sing
Get
to me...
Get out of my apartment. Out! Out, lover, with the heart of a pigeon.
Vanyinka.
What?
I will ask him.
When?
He has asked me, the general, to hunt with him the boar, tomorrow. In the lodge, in the forest, when the hunt is done, I will ask him, since he is always in good cheer at this time. Now, kiss me.
I want to.
So, rest. Rest, Chadova. Rest, beautiful beast. Child of the wolf and child of the dog. You hunted well, Chadova, and I love you. Fyodor Petrovich.
Yes, General.
You are a good lad. You please me, lad. In you, I see myself in you.
General.
What?
Of Vanyinka.
Of Vanyinka. Vanyinka, my ruby, my delight.
I wish to marry her.
You wish to marry her?
Exactly. My soul longs for her.
Alas.
Alas?
Too late. Too late. But 2 days ago...
What?
I gave her hand to Vasily Vasilovich, favorite of the Tsar. In 6 months, when Vanyinka is 18, she will marry Vasily Vasilovich.
That is terrible.
Your heart is broken.
Alas.
You think of the Neva.
Yes.
Too late. Too late.
Theodore.
Yes?
I am happy you are back from hunting the boar.
As am I.
Fyodor?
Yes, little apple.
What's to become of us?
Life goes on, little apple.
In truth, did he say that?
What?
My father said I would marry Vasily Vasilovich.
Truth, when you are 18.
But Vasily Vasilovich is a fool, and he's clumsy. He falls down at such inappropriate times. Often one is in the middle of a sentence to him.
But yet your father promised you to him.
What is to become of us?
I will remain at the palace until your wedding.
Promise me. Oh, promise.
I promise.
I will go to my father and say I do not wish to be married until I am 20.
Vanyinka Yablushka.
Fyodor Petrovich.
And then, the next day, a small thing happened. Gregory Litnoy, a servant in the palace, spilled some soup on the handsome new gown of Vanyinka, which ruined it, beet stains being impossible to remove at this time, which caused Vanyinka to become furious.
Flog him! Flog him!
Mercy! Mercy!
Take him out of here! I will tell Fyodor, and he will see that this serf is flogged.
And you remember what happened. A few days later, Fyodor supervised the serf flogging, while Vanyinka watched from her second-story apartment, proud of the way her Fyodor gave the commands. However, a few days later, when the serf Gregory was able to get around again...
Come in. Come in. Now, get up. Get up, Grigory Litnoev. So, how are your wounds from the flogging?
Ivan the flogger laid the knout into my back, and where I am muscled, else I should be dead.
Well, you deserve to be whipped.
Yes.
Now, what is it? Now, why have you come for an audience? Do not things go well in the kitchen? What?
They go well in the kitchen as they go well elsewhere, Excellency.
Then what?
Oh, how well.
What are you talking about?
Down the corridor where your daughter's apartment is, they go best of all. She and Fyodor Petrovich...
Swine! What foul words!
No, no, listen.
Yes, I'll listen, and then, hound of a man, I'll skin you alive.
If my words are false, lay the knout against me till it takes away all the skin, but only listen.
Speak, then.
Even now, Excellency, Vanyinka and the lieutenant, lovers, that sing to each other while Anushka, the maidservant, pours them wine and prepares all manner of things. No, no, no lashes, Excellency. Do not whip me till you have seen with your own eyes.
Yes, I will see. And I will tell you this. If it is true what you say, and if Fyodor Petrovich is in the apartment of Vanyinka...
You will flog her?
Till her death.
And him?
Till his death.
I open the door for you, Excellency.
The whip the general was carrying was a boar hide and covered with brass studs. It had been his favorite since his days at the academy, when he was given to stopping serfs in the street and making of them living examples of his skill with the whip. Now he was on his way to visit his daughter. St. Petersburg in the first year of the 19th century. A young city then, less than 100 years old. Created and built by Peter the Great, it boasted fine cathedrals and canals, and a headsman's chopping block second to none. It was in this city, in this era, you'll remember, which gave to the Russian court the Suvorov sisters, Anna and Fanya, who confounded and delighted and who sent to an early grave the false Dmitri. One of the most beautiful thoroughfares of the city was the Nevsky Prospect, and where it bridged the Neva on the escarpment was the palace of General Alexander Chermayov, retired. At the moment, he was on his way to flog his daughter to death, and her lover, too, which young people were even now at byplay.
My turn now.
Anushka!
Coming, 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 Vanyika Alexandrovna. The eggs are boiled to hardness.
My turn, my turn. Now, what design shall I paint on this one?
Cherubims. Cherubims and doves.
Good.
Oh, good.
Vanyinka!
Your papa, Fyodor. Fyodor Petrovich.
If he finds me here.
Vanyinka! Vanyinka Alexandrovna!
Yes, papa?
Open! Open the door!
A moment, papa.
Open! Open the door!
Quickly, Fyodor, in the linen closet.
Yes, yes.
Get in. Now lie down. Anushka, get linen. Put linen on top. Cover him.
It is I, General Alexander Kirmayov, and I demand it. Open the door to your papa.
In a second, papa. Quickly, Anushka, quickly.
It is done.
Put down the door and close it. Now lock it. Now sit on it.
Yes.
Papa, Papa, come in. What delight to see you at this time of day.
Where is he?
Where is who, Papa? Where is who, Anushka?
I do not know.
Nor do I. Whom do you wish, Papa?
Fyodor Petrovich Romayov.
Fyodor
Petrovich? Fyodor Petrovich Romayov. The scoundrel, the black-hearted one who comes here to your room.
To my room? Look about you and see if he is here.
And if he is... Do you see this whip?
If he is in this room, I should expect the whip, Papa.
Well said. Well spoken, daughter. Then I have your honor that he is not here.
You have my honor.
And yours, Anushka Olga Lapachin?
Oh, yes.
Why are you sitting on the linen closet?
It is where she sits when she assists me to paint eggs.
Oh, and this you have been doing?
All afternoon.
Oh. Ooh, ooh, such marvels you have painted. Oh, it has been years since I have done such a youthful pleasure. Daughter, if now I joined you at this sport...
Oh, I want you to.
And it's being just before Easter, and since it was the custom for the masters to supply the serfs with gaily colored eggs, father and daughter painted while Anushka boiled and brought. And there was conversation.
Fyodor has asked me for your hand, Vaninka.
Yes, I know.
I informed him when you are 18, you will marry Vasily Vasilovich.
Can I not wait until I'm 20?
On the day that you are 18.
And so it went. 3 hours. Talk, tea, painting. Then the general got up.
It has been a pleasure, Vaninka. I will see you.
Now quickly, Anushka. Open the linen closet.
Fyodor Petrovich, let go the tablecloth. Vaninka. What?
Dead. He's dead.
Oh, beloved, beloved, beloved.
Suffocated.
What is to become of me?
If your father finds this corpse here, he will whip you to death.
I will throw myself into the Neva.
Oh, it is not necessary. My brother, Ivan.
What can he do?
He will dispose of Fyodor in such a way.
Oh.
Ah, do not worry your pretty head. He has disposed before. I know. Oh, do not sob. Do not cry. The dead are dead. And always flows the Neva.
I must tell you that Ivan, the brother of Anushka, is the same Ivan who flogged Gregory. And Gregory, you'll remember, is the same Gregory who snitched on Vaninka Alexandrovna and Fyodor Petrovich. And now the way Ivan disposed of Fyodor's body was this. Since there was still ice on the Neva, he cut a hole in it and stuffed the body into the icy waters. The cold wind quickly froze shut the ice again, and Fyodor's body, flowing with the swift current of the river, sometime later entered the Gulf of Finland. For this arrangement, Ivan received 1,000 rubles, the fee agreed upon, plus an extra 1,000 blackmail, which last set a precedent. Vaninka was forced to pay Ivan money whenever he demanded it. However, being rich, she didn't mind. And that summer, she spent a joyous vacation on the Black Sea with her father. That's the opposite direction from the Gulf of Finland.
Vaninka.
Yes, Papa.
You say your Fyodor
has gone on a journey to forget me.
Noble lad.
And the next month on the Crimea, taking the waters, still south.
Vaninka?
Yes, Papa?
You had a letter today. Was it from Fyodor?
No, Papa. It was from Sophie Pagavia from Prushnitz. To tell me she has married a boy from Prushnitz. Boris Padyov.
And from Fyodor, nothing.
Nothing.
And in the Ukraine, after the festivals were over, coming home.
Vaninka.
Yes, Papa?
I liked Fyodor.
Yes, Papa.
I miss him.
I miss him too, Papa.
And no sooner had they gotten back to the palace.
Vaninka.
Yes, Papa?
Quickly, come. Vaninka, news from Moscow. Vasily Vasilovich fell down.
He always falls, Papa.
This is his last fall, Vaninka. 3 flights of steps, he's dead.
Dead?
Nor must you think of throwing yourself into the Neva, Varinka. Listen, I give you permission.
Permission?
To marry Fyodor Petrovich Romayov. Well?
Thanks, Papa.
Way to eat potatoes. And this inn serves the best potatoes. Agreed?
Agreed.
Gregory?
What is it, Ivan Ivanovich?
To ask you once more that you bear me no malice for having whipped you, for having flogged you.
How could I think evil of you? It was the fault of Vanyinka because I spilled on her.
Vanyinka, Vanyinka.
And Fyodor Petrovich, who gave you the order to lay the strap on.
Yeah, Fyodor Petrovich.
Ivan.
Yes?
How is it that suddenly you are so rich?
Drink vodka.
I drink, and yet I cannot help but ask.
You are a friend to me.
From the same village.
Friend?
From the same village, from the same meadowland. Yet you are rich, and I am penniless.
Bend close your ear. Vanyinka.
What?
Vanyinka Alexandrovna.
She gives you money?
Whatever I ask, she gives. Whatever, whenever. For example.
Yes?
I have but to crook a finger, and she would come. Running if I but crooked a finger.
No.
With a bottle of her father's best brandy in each arm.
Then crook a finger.
You wish to see?
I wish to see.
Waiter! Waiter, come here. Here are 10 rubles. Go to the Chermayev Palace and ask of Vanyinka. Tell her you are of me. And that I wish her here. At once. With brandy. Her papa's brandy. At once!
At the moment when Vanyinka received word that she was wanted at the inn by Ivan Ivanovich, she was in the middle of brooding. She had never been closer to the bottom of the Neva River than she was now, thinking as she was of her dead lover and how fate and a tattletale named Gregory and a blackmailer named Ivan Ivanovich had robbed her of her one true love. So she went to the general's liquor cabinet and extracted 2 bottles of his oldest brandy. Then she went to the general's medicine chest and extracted a handful of the general's opium and mixed the 2 together. Then she went down to the inn.
By your command, Ivan Ivanovich, 2 bottles of brandy.
1 for me and 1 for Gregory. Pull up the corks, Gregory.
Yes.
And now we will drink to Vanyinka Alexandrovna Chermayev.
To Vanyinka.
They drank, and they drank, and Vanyinka watched. Then they passed into the land of poppy dreams, and Vanyinka watched. Everyone else went home until all who were left in the inn were a dozing proprietor and the 2 dreamers, Ivan and Gregory, and Vanyinka, who stopped watching, who went over to the fireplace and took a burning brand and set fire to the place. The inn burned well, and everything that was in it. Then Vanyinka took a walk.
And so it is done, lover. Fyodor Petrovich, you are now avenged. Those who caused your death are dead now. So sleep, Fyodor Petrovich. Sleep. And soon, who knows, I will be in your arms again. Gently, gently flows the Neva. Neva, mother of rivers, where do you go? Soft the silver light on your kindly bosom. Mother of rivers. Take me. Hold me.
I would like to be able to tell you that the bodies of the lovers were found close to one another on some distant and misty shore. But I cannot. Vanyinka did not drown. She was saved by a young man passing by. He was a captain in the Tsar's cavalry, and they rode back to the palace in warm clothes. She draped across the pommel of his steed. He proposed marriage as soon as he saw her house. She refused. He rode away to the north, crying. Vanyinka locked herself in her room and never came out again, except for her father's funeral a week later.
Here again is Thomas Highland.
Next week, Manchester, England, in the year 1826. At that time, the Norwich Union boys really knew how to put out a big fire. They were also adept at snuffing out smaller flames. It's listed in my files as James Evans, Fireman, How He Extinguished a Human Torch. Thank you. Good night.
Gangbusters go into action Saturday nights on the CBS Radio Network.
Crime Classics on Tuned to Yesterday from April 7th, 1954, a CBS episode. You're listening to an hour of crime stories on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier, and now it's Dragnet on the air, featuring an episode that would be seen on television within the same year called The Big Bird. This first heard on NBC on February 1st, 1955.
Dragnet. Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a burglary detail. During the last 2 weeks, there have been a series of burglaries in the Valley Division. You haven't got a lead. Your job, find one.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Wednesday, September 9th. It was hot in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of burglary division. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Captain Bernard. My name's Friday. We're on our way out to a recently completed housing project in the Valley. It was 10:13 a.m. when we got to the corner of Moore Park and Victory. Mayflower Homes.
This one right here, huh?
Yeah, 224.
I guess they haven't sold them all yet.
Mm-hmm.
$500 down, not so bad. Pretty nice houses.
You thinking of getting a new place?
Oh, I was thinking. Kids are shooting up. We could use a little more room.
Mm-hmm.
Just what Faye always wanted. House nobody else has lived in. Well, someday maybe.
Yeah.
Yes, sir?
We're police officers. This is Frank Smith. My name's Friday.
Oh, how do you do?
Hi.
Somebody reported a burglary at this address. Are you Sam Brighton?
Yes, sir. That's me.
Mm-hmm.
Would you show us where he broke in, please?
Oh, yes, sir. It's in the front bedroom. Just this right... Yeah, that's it, yeah. Just off the hall here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this window here, you can see where he jimmied it.
Yeah.
I was careful not to touch it. You know, fingerprints.
That's good. Can you give us a list of the things he took?
Well, no, sir, not for certain. We were just getting moved in, and we don't know for sure what's gone. A couple of silver trays and a pair of candlesticks, they're missing.
Any cash?
Oh, about $20, $25. When I changed to go out to dinner last night, I left it in my trousers. They were in the other bedroom in the back of a chair. Pretty dumb place to leave money.
Mm.
Your family live here with you?
My wife.
I see.
We've only been married a couple of weeks. Things he stole, they were wedding presents.
That's too bad.
Sure is a heck of a way to start out. Being married, I mean. Never wanted a house in the first place. Well, it's her own fault.
What do you mean, sir?
Sally's parents insisted on giving it to us, the down payment part. Sally will never be able to manage a big place like this. She's just a couple of years younger than I am. Just a kid. Apartment's what we ought to have. No point in arguing with in-laws, though. I found that out pronto.
Yeah. Any idea what time the burglary took place?
Yes, sir. Between 6 and 10 last night. Must have been then, between 6 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
We went over to Sally's folks for dinner. Our refrigerator hasn't been delivered yet.
I see.
The reason I'm so sure about the time is I wanted to find out how long it would take to drive there.
Mm-hmm.
I told Sally it wouldn't be more than 15 minutes. First time she's ever been away from home. She kind of likes to feel that her folks are handy.
I understand.
Hollywood Hills. That's where they live. Off of Mulholland. Took us 14 minutes. Left here 6 o'clock exactly. News was just coming on the radio. Got there 6:14. I'm not so sure when we got home, but it was right around 10 o'clock.
Well, that's close enough.
Of course, I didn't know about the burglary then when we got home. We just went straight to bed. Didn't come in here. We used the back bedroom.
Yeah.
It wasn't until this morning when I started looking in my pants for cash.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible he broke in while you were asleep?
Well, I might have slept through it, but not Sally. At least little thing wakes her up. She'd have heard him. Must have happened while we were out.
Have you noticed anybody suspicious hanging around the last couple of days?
No, sir. Of course, we're brand new in the neighborhood. Most of the houses aren't even sold yet. We wouldn't know who was suspicious and who wasn't.
Be all right if we talk to your wife?
Well, she couldn't tell you anything I haven't.
She here now?
Over to Mother's. This kind of thing, well, it kind of threw her, you know. You know how it is, just a kid.
Yeah, we understand.
Wish it had been me that found out about the bird.
The bird?
Well, didn't I tell you? I meant to.
No.
Darndest thing. Parakeet. Somebody gave it to Sally when she was a girl. Taught it how to talk. Talk real good, too. Why should a burglar do a thing like that?
What'd he do, turn it loose?
No, sir, he killed it.
We talked to Mrs. Brighton at her parents' home. She was unable to add anything to what her husband had told us. 1:15 p.m. The crime lab reported that there were no useful fingerprints on the Brighton window. Pictures were taken of the Jimmy marks. There was no other physical evidence. September 11th, two more burglaries took place in a new housing tract near Sepulveda Boulevard. The burglar had followed the same M.O. used on the Brighton house. One victim also told us that three pet canaries had been killed. The other victim had no pets. By the end of the following week, four more burglaries had occurred in new housing developments. In each case where the home contained pet birds, the bird was killed. Other pets were not disturbed. Circulars describing the stolen articles were sent to all pawn shops in the city. September 21st, 8:05 a.m., we checked in for work.
Oh, man.
What's the matter? You still asleep?
Yeah, I didn't get a wink last night. Things at me all night.
No?
It's my own fault, Joe. Never should have told her about all those new houses going up nowadays. It was a big mistake.
Well, I thought you told me you were considering a new house.
Yeah, I changed my mind. We got enough people staying with us as it is. Faye's relatives. Brother-in-law, Armin, you know.
Oh, him, huh?
Yeah, he's down here. As long as he has to sleep on the living room couch, he'll take off after a day or two.
Uh-huh.
Give him a real bed and he'd stay with us for the rest of his life.
I get it. Burglary, Friday. Yes, sir, when did it happen? I see. Just a minute, please. All right, go ahead. That's 214 South. Yes, sir, I've got it. Right. Well, we got another one.
Yeah?
Pet shop over near Lancashire Boulevard.
A shop?
Uh-huh.
That doesn't sound like our boy.
Might be if they sell birds. We left the office and drove out to the Biggs Pet Shop on a side street in North Hollywood. 9:07 a.m., we interviewed Jasper Biggs, the owner of the store. He told us that during the night, the back door had been forced open. $17 was missing from the cash register.
Money ain't important, you understand. Not that anybody likes being robbed.
Yes, sir, we understand.
Besides, it's happened before. That's why I keep this sign up here on the register. It tells them how to open it.
I see.
A couple years ago, a fella broke in and wrecked the machine trying to get it open. That cash register's worth a whole lot more than anything I keep in it. Shut up over there, all of you! Dang much racket in here, a person can't even think. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah, about the money. Now, like I said, it don't matter, the $17.
Yes, sir.
Birds is different. They do matter.
Sir?
Well, he killed all of them, every last one.
I see.
Parakeets, canaries, parrots.
Mm-hmm.
Parakeets and canaries, now, they don't matter. I can replace them. Insurance will take care of it anyway. Them parrots is another story. It's a different story entirely.
Yes, sir.
Two of them was on consignment, worth over $100 apiece. $100! Bet you never figured birds run that high, did you?
No, sir.
Well, they do. Parrots, anyway, some of them. And what's more, my insurance don't cover birds on consignment. How do you like that?
Huh?
check with the fellow who sold me the policy right after I called the police. It says birds on consignment aren't covered. Loophole, that's what it is, loophole.
Yes, sir.
Probably somebody wanting to buy them parrots. Be just my luck. Big spec shop. Who? Oh, yeah. They're still here. Just a minute. It's for you.
Thank you. This Friday. Yeah. Okay, give me that address. All right, I got it. As soon as we can. Right?
We got another one?
Tracked off Riverside Drive.
Same routine.
One thing's different.
Yeah.
Some lady saw him. We ended our interview with Mr. Biggs, and we drove out to the address of a Mrs. Nellie Diver, who had just reported a burglary. Mrs. Diver told us her house had been entered shortly after she left to do her marketing. She discovered she'd forgotten her grocery list, and she came back for it. When she returned, the burglar was in the dining room. He had entered through a side window. The M.O. appeared to be the same as in the other recent burglaries.
Never saw such a surprised look on a man's face in my life. He just stood there like he was frozen solid for a minute or more. And then he lit out through the back door like it is split.
Uh-huh. How long were you gone from the house, ma'am?
5-10 minutes. As soon as I remembered about my list, I started back. I don't know why I'm getting so forgetful. Old age must be catching up with me.
Well, it's a good thing you did forget, Mrs. Diver.
Hmm? Oh, you mean so he didn't get time to steal anything?
Yes, ma'am.
Nothing around here worth stealing. Wonder how he happened to pick me. It'd be different if I lived up in Bel Air or one of those estates.
Well, if it's who we think it is, he's satisfied with smaller homes.
You mean he's pulled this kind of stunt before?
Yes, ma'am.
You don't say.
Do you think you'd recognize the man if you saw him again?
I beg your pardon?
The man who broke in here. You said you got a good look at him.
Oh, real good. Stood there in the dining room for a full minute, maybe more.
Then you'd recognize him, would you?
I don't see why not. This isn't the first time we met up, you understand.
How's that?
Saw him once before.
Well, when was that?
Last week sometime. I'm not certain. Wednesday or Thursday, middle of the week, in through there.
You sure it was the same man?
Looked the same. Came right up to my door.
Well, what do you want?
I'm not certain of that either. I've been racking my brain trying to remember. So many fellows around here last week, two or three milkmen trying to sign me up, a couple of people wanting me to take newspapers, three or four asking about dry cleaning, somebody selling rugs. Spent half my time running to the door. So help me, I can't remember which one he was. Getting old, sure as fate.
You think he was just pretending to be a door-to-door salesman of some kind or other?
Seems to me they were all trying to sell something. It's what always happens when you settle in a new location.
Yes, ma'am. What if you'd mind coming downtown with us for a little while?
No, I wouldn't mind. What for?
We'd like to show you some photographs, see if you can pick the man out for us.
Right now?
If you could, yes.
Well, you just give me a minute to get my hat and change Henry's water.
Henry?
My canary out in the kitchen.
Oh.
Haven't you noticed the way he's been... Oh, that's funny.
Ma'am?
He's usually singing up a blue streak this time of day.
We went into the kitchen with Mrs. Diver and we found the dead bird. She agreed to accompany us downtown. 11:05 a.m. We pulled the mugshots of burglars who matched the description that she'd given us and we showed them to Mrs. Diver. She identified one of the photographs, Stanley A. Bushing. Bushing had done time in the state penitentiary as a cat burglar. From his 5'10s, we learned his acquaintances and the places he was known to frequent. 3:36 p.m. We located Bushing in a bar on North Main. Stan Bushing?
Yeah?
Police officers.
You don't say.
Want to talk to you, Bushing.
Be my guest.
Come on, let's go.
What's the matter with it right here? Joint don't get noisy until later on. Why not right here?
Where were you last night?
What time?
All night. And this morning. 8 o'clock this morning.
Why do you want to know?
All right, come on, let's go.
Well, give me a chance to finish my beer, will you? Look, you boys want to know where I was last night? All right, I'll tell you. I just want to know why, that's all.
You been up the valley lately? Well, come on, how about it?
Oh, that's why you're after me, huh? You think I've been pulling those house prowls.
What do you know about them?
What I read in the papers.
You know more than that.
I do?
There was another one this morning.
That's news to me.
Is that so?
Yeah, I haven't bought a paper yet today.
Lady saw you.
Huh?
Right after you broke in.
Me, huh?
She says it's you.
Well, she needs glasses.
Well, we don't think so.
Look, you'll never make it stick.
We're going to try, fella.
I'm clean. Not even on parole no more.
It won't be parole this time.
It won't be anything.
Oh, come on, Bushing. Quit stalling.
Look, don't get yourself in an uproar. Take it easy. You'll live longer. Suppose I got an alibi.
Well, we'll try it for size.
For all night and this morning.
Go on.
I was with friends.
We got a lady who says different.
I got a lot of friends.
Yeah, we know your friends. We'll settle for the lady.
10:30 last night till 9 o'clock this morning. With them every minute.
Where?
You ain't gonna like it.
Where were you?
You're gonna look pretty foolish.
Come on, let's have it, Bushing.
Drunk tank, Lincoln Heights Jail.
We verified Bushing's alibi with the booking sergeant at Lincoln Heights, and we learned that he was in the clear as far as the previous night was concerned. 5:06 p.m. We interviewed Mrs. Diver again. She wavered in her identification of Bushing's photo, and she said she couldn't tell us anything more. Teletypes of the suspect's description were sent out.
The next day, Tuesday, September 22nd, we had a meeting with the skipper, Captain Bernard.
Well, where do we stand?
Just about where we did when it started.
It's not good, is it?
No, it's not.
We thought we had him yesterday, Skipper, but it didn't pan out.
You got a description?
Well, if she's no better at describing him than she is at identification, it doesn't mean much.
We figure he pretends to be a salesman of some kind.
That how he cases the houses?
As far as we can tell, yeah.
You need a lot more than that.
Yep.
This guy's got to be stopped. It isn't just the burglaries. Seems half of the people in L.A. keep pet birds. I don't know. My kids have a couple of canaries themselves.
Mm.
You get attached to them like you do anything else.
Yeah, I know.
You boys seen the mail on this thing?
No, sir.
Letters from all over. Not just in town here, all over. People are raising Cain. My own kids asking me when we're going to catch him. Can't wait any longer for a break. We got to make one.
Well, you got any ideas?
I don't know. We've just been working housing projects, huh?
Except for that one pet store, yeah.
Well, let's forget the store and see if we can get a pattern out of the houses.
Well, they're all new places. Folks have just moved in. He cracks one or two in each development, and then he moves on. So far, he stayed in the Valley Division out there.
Well, they're building up out that way. He won't run out of targets.
No.
He opened any new projects the last week or so?
Yeah, a couple.
He tapped them yet?
No. We alerted the owners, told them to warn anybody who moves in. Probably won't do much good, though.
Might.
Hmm?
If you two moved in.
Wednesday, September 23rd. We drove out to a new track just off Coldwater Canyon Boulevard. It was called White Manor Homes. We found the tract office near the main entrance, and we went inside.
Gentlemen, what can I do for you? Are you interested in owning a new home?
We're police officers, sir. This is Frank Smith. My name's Friday.
Police?
That's right, sir.
Well, I don't think I've had any parking tickets lately.
We're from burglary.
Oh, about the Birdman, I suppose.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what they call him in the papers, you know, the Birdman.
Yes, sir, it's about him.
He hasn't been around here.
Well, no, sir, not as far as we know.
Well, that's a relief. Not that it makes much difference.
You're in charge of this project, are you, sir?
Yes, sir. My name's Simple, Forrest Simple. I've got a card right here on the desk.
That's all right, Mr. Simple.
I own White Manor Homes.
I see.
I guess I should say me and the bank. We own it together.
Yes, sir.
It's all going to belong to the bank, though, the way things are going. Been open nearly a week now. I haven't sold a single house. Haven't even had a decent offer.
Oh, what's the trouble, sir?
Now you know what's the trouble just as well as I do. Birdman, that's the trouble.
Huh.
Folks just aren't going to move into any new developments until he's caught. Sent me a circular last week, the police department. I'm supposed to warn anybody who buys from me. Put them on their guard.
Yes, sir.
Don't need any warning. As scared off as it is. 3 months ago, I'd be half sold out by now. Seems to me you fellows are dogging it. Now, I'm not telling you your business, mind you, but it seems to me you should have picked him up before this.
Yes, sir. Maybe you can help us.
How's that?
Well, the sign out in front says that two of your houses are furnished. Is that right?
Oh, that's just for display. Wesley's department store did it. Figures it's good advertising.
Yes, sir.
Of course, I don't sell them furnished, just for display.
We'd like to use one of them for a few days.
Use one?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm afraid I don't follow you.
Well, sir, you've got a sold sign that you can put up in the front yard.
Yeah. Well, I guess so.
Well, we'll see that nothing's disturbed. If anybody asks, you tell them a new couple moved in.
Oh, I get you. Decoys, huh?
Yes, or something like that.
Well, I don't know. Department store might not go for the idea.
Well, we'll clear it with them.
Well, if it's all right with them.
Thank you.
How long do you suppose it'll take?
How's that?
To catch them.
Well, your guess is as good as ours, if it works at all.
It better work. Pressure's building up. You fellas don't know what it's like being under pressure. Owe the bank a lot of money on this project. Figured I'd have at least half a dozen houses sold by now. At least half a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
Interest to be paid is the principal and the... You know, the bank expects it on time. You can't blame them for that.
No, sir.
You don't know what it's like having the pressure turned on.
We get a little every once in a while.
Oh, well, that's different. Your boss rides you and tells you to get on the ball. You don't have to worry. He can't fire you. Cops are civil servants. Pressure from your boss? Well, that's different.
It's not coming from him.
Well, where's it coming from?
Guy who kills birds. We telephoned the Wesley department store and we talked to the manager. He gave us permission to use the house that they'd decorated. At a neighborhood pet store, we purchased a cage and two canaries. It was 11:30 a.m. when we got back to White Manor Homes. Mr. Simple was putting up a sold sign in front of one of the houses.
What you got there? Oh, canaries, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, here's the key, in case you want to lock up. Door's open now.
Thank you.
Want me to spread the word?
What's that, sir?
And I've sold this place?
We'd appreciate that.
Okay, I'll see that it gets around.
Thank you.
Man, some layout, huh?
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, great. You know anything about taking care of birds?
Well, I don't think there's much to it. Just water and sea, huh?
Yeah. Hey, Joe. Get a load of that couch.
Yeah.
Boy, it must be 8 feet long if it's an inch.
Just about.
If Faye ever sees this place, I'm dead.
What'd you tell her?
Oh, that we were on a job. I certainly didn't go into detail.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder what it would cost.
Hmm?
To fix a joint up like this, how much it would cost?
More than we make.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably wouldn't be very comfortable anyway. Not like having your own stuff you're used to.
No.
Hey, boy, they're really cleaning up a storm, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they're kind of cute, too. Hey, you know, Joe Faye might like a couple of birds. Be good company for her when the kids are in school.
Well, maybe you can have those.
I never thought of that.
If he doesn't get them first.
No one came by the house that afternoon or that evening. At 6 p.m., Frank went home. I stayed through the night. Thursday, September 24th, 9:15 a.m., we had our first visitor. Frank waited in the bedroom while I talked to her. She was a young lady who said that she represented the local chamber of commerce. She told me her job was to welcome newcomers to the neighborhood. She gave me some maps and a book of coupons which could be exchanged for free introductory gifts at various stores in the vicinity. During the rest of the day, we had four more callers, two newspaper agents, a representative from a dry cleaning establishment, and a charity worker. As far as we could tell, they were all genuinely fond of birds. 4:45 p.m., a small old truck pulled up in front.
Look, coming up the walk.
Pretty close to Ms. Diver's description, isn't it?
Yeah. You want me to get out of here?
Yeah, better if he only sees one of us, huh?
Right.
Okay.
A lady of the house in?
Out shopping.
Oh, well, I'll come back.
What's it about?
I'd rather talk to her.
Why?
I'd like to take over your yard.
Hmm?
I'm a gardener, mister.
Oh. Well, I'm the one to see about that.
Uh-uh.
Why not?
Ask a man for a gardening job, he says he'll do it himself, weekends and after work. Don't understand how much work it'll be. Wife knows better, knows her husband, too. She's the one hires me.
Well, maybe I'm different. It's a pretty big yard. Plan on spending my weekends on my back.
I don't blame you.
Come on inside for a minute.
Yeah, sure.
How much would you charge for a yard this size?
Want me to handle watering, too?
No, I guess we can take care of the watering.
Well, I'll come once a week, then mow the lawn, look after your flowers, do weeding, planting.
Well, we're pretty well landscaped now.
Well, you'll want some of your own plants. Could use a couple more roses alongside that.
That's possible.
Hmm.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Just looking around. Swell place you got here.
How much for the yard work?
25 a month.
That's kind of steep.
Big yard, said so yourself.
Mm-hmm. You'd only be here a couple hours a week, you know.
Oh, 25 is the best I can do. You think it over. I got to be shoving on.
How about 20?
Sorry, mister.
Not worth any more than that. Got plenty of gardeners for 20, you know that.
Up to you. Ain't got any other jobs in this neck of the woods. I have to drive all the way out here.
How'd you happen to find us then? I say, how'd you happen to find us then?
Well, I heard about this project. I thought more of them would be sold by now.
Mm-hmm.
Guess you're the only people moved in, huh?
That's right.
Yeah, I thought there'd be more.
Probably will be before long.
Well, if I pick up any other customers in the project, I might come down. 25 for now.
Ready, can't swing there.
Well, you think it over. I'll drop back there, so. Somebody here most of the time?
Most of the time, yeah.
I'll drop back.
Oh, shut up, will you?
What?
I wasn't talking to you. Those canaries are getting crazy.
What's wrong with them?
Well, they're a nuisance. They're always screeching to get on somebody's nerves.
I guess you don't like birds.
Well, I could do without these.
Yeah. Well, why don't you get rid of them?
Oh, my wife would blow her stack.
Oh, yeah.
Pride and joy, you know. She talks to them all the time. Baby talking.
Yeah, just like my old lady.
Your wife keep birds, too, does she?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah, when I was a kid, cages all over the place. Must have had 15, 20 birds.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'm lucky we only get these.
Yeah, you're lucky. You're lucky. I had a dog once.
Yeah?
Rusty, that was his name. He was a mutt. Only dog I ever had. Killed one of our canaries.
All right.
That wasn't his fault. Bird got loose. He didn't know no better. Just playing with it. Didn't mean to kill it.
Sure.
Maybe get rid of Rusty. My mom did. Sent him away. I don't know what happened to him.
That's too bad.
Never had another dog after that. He wouldn't let me. Just birds. Used to lay awake at night listening to him sing. That's what she called it. Didn't sound like singing to me. Wouldn't cover him over. Said it was cruel to cover him over. Half night long, I had to listen to him.
Like you said, gets on a fella's nerves.
Yeah.
I sneaked downstairs, took them out of their cages. I did it real quiet. Killed them all. All Mom's birds. Well, I couldn't stay after that. Ran away from home. Wish I could have stayed. Wish I could have seen her face next morning. Made it up for Rusty.
Yeah.
I still keep hearing them, though. I have to keep killing them over and over. So many birds.
Mm-hmm.
Folks put them in a cage, lock them up. Feel sorry for them afterwards. Don't make sense. I don't feel sorry for something just because it's locked up.
You might.
The story you've just heard is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent.
On November 12th, a hearing was held in Department 98, Superior Court, State of California, in and for the County of Los Angeles. Philip James Borch was examined by six psychiatrists appointed by the court and found to be mentally incompetent. He was committed to the state mental hospital at Mendocino for an indefinite period of time.
Dragnet is a presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
Dragnet, on Tuned to Yesterday from February 1st, 1955 on NBC. The television adaptation of the story would be seen in October of the same year. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from Radio's Yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVernier. Thanks for listening.